Have you got me pretty good out there? Can everybody hear me? I know once I step away from the microphone, I'll probably forget to pick it up, and hopefully I won't do that. It's been a battle with the microphones, folks, because we've tried three different microphones with this transmitter, and everything worked perfect last night. No problems at all. Brother Edward, Brother Bradley got up and gave a testimony and was up here for a few minutes. No issues. And Brother Edward had it on the whole time we was having prayer meeting last night, and no issues.
Really?
Yeah.
Must be.
What's that?
So the devil doesn't want you to talk.
It's probably true. Want to thank everybody that came out yesterday for the door knocking. And Brother Jeff, would you mind coming up and helping us with the offering, please, brother? But we actually had probably the best crowd yesterday that we've had, and it was good to see everybody out. The unfortunate thing that we had happen yesterday is we had some Jehovah Witnesses to go into a neighborhood before we got into there. So, and Brother Daniel just wanted to get me stirred up this morning. Here's what the Jehovah Witnesses have to say, and this ought to stir you up. It ought to make you show you how wicked they are. Please join us for the annual commemoration of the death of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Please join us for the annual commemoration of the death of Jesus Christ. Folks, that is Antichrist to the core. It doesn't take a whole lot to get me stirred up, but something like this, it just burns me up is what it does. And it tells me one of the reasons why we're so strong on emphasizing doctrine in this church. Doctrine is the most, outside of your salvation, doctrine is the most important thing that we teach. And it's stuff like this, this Jehovah Witness stuff that they put out there, that we've got to know and understand what methods they use, what doctrines and stuff that they teach, because they do not, obviously they do not believe in a literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, well, I know we're doing a thing on soul winning, and I'm going to take probably a slight detour here. I've only got really a few minutes, but 1 Corinthians 15 is probably the, if you want to title it a chapter, the resurrection chapter in the Bible. It also deals with the rapture too, folks. So. An integral part of the gospel is what? The resurrection, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that, keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the resurrection. That is the gospel, folks. And if you know anything about your Bible, you know that the Bible teaches that there are two resurrections that take place, or actually two phases of the resurrection that take place. And we see that in Revelation chapter 20. You also see two different phases of the resurrection in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. John 5, I think, verses 28 and 29. And Acts 24, verse 15. It calls out two different resurrections of the just and the unjust, the saved and the unsaved. And by the way, they're 1,000 years apart according to Revelation chapter 20. So the resurrection is, for the believer, our assurance that we will also be raised from the dead. Of the 101 mentions of blood in the New Testament, there are 45 specific references to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 45 of them. The blood of Jesus is said to be God's blood in Acts 20, verse 28. Hebrews 2:14 says that the Lord Jesus Christ took part of the same flesh that we sinners inhabit. That part that he did not partake of was the human blood. That's in Acts in Hebrews 2:14. It says in that particular verse that he took part of the same. What part did he not partake of? The blood. Because why? The Bible says that the blood of Jesus was God's blood. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God manifested in the flesh. That's who he is. And if you don't teach that, you don't preach that, you don't believe that, that is of the spirit of Antichrist. That's what the Bible says, that he was manifested in the flesh. Okay, salvation is said to come through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 3:25. Romans 5:9 says that we are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are said to receive redemption and forgiveness of sins through his blood in Ephesians 1:7 and in Colossians 1:14. Ephesians 2:13 says that we are made nigh to God by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:20 says that peace was made between God and man through the reconciliation of the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bloodiest book in the New Testament is the book of Hebrews, folks. And it says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. According to Hebrews 12, verse 13, we are sanctified with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to 1 John 1, 7, we are cleansed from all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. According to Revelation 1, 5, we are washed from our sins in the blood. Not by blood, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. According to Revelation 5, 9, we are redeemed to God by the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That means that redemption is twofold, in that we are redeemed from our sin and we are redeemed to God. So it's a twofold redemption. And now according to Revelation 7:14, the tribulation saints will have their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then, according to Revelation 12:11, the tribulation saints will overcome Satan with the blood of the Lamb of God. So that blood is all important. Having said all that, there are two absolutes in the salvation of sinners, folks. Two absolutes. The two absolutes are the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are absolutes. Without it, we cannot have salvation. We have no proof that we can be raised. If we don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we do not believe the gospel, folks. I've already partially quoted this verse, but Hebrews 9:22, talking about the blood being one of the absolutes. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 through 19, that resurrection chapter again. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19 says this, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So those are the two absolutes. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And what are we celebrating today? Not the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection, folks. He is the resurrection and the life. Without him, we have no life. If he ceased to exist, we would cease to exist. In fact, all of creation, if he ceased to exist, if he did not exist, all of creation would go away. And that's what the book of Colossians teaches. Yes, sir. Hope is faith. It's a picture in that particular case of faith. And we're talking about having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Easter would have to be described as the high holy day for all of Bible-believing Christianity, wouldn't it? That's what it would have to be described as. By the way, I want to tell you something. How is it that all of the folks that have modern Bible perversions celebrate Easter, since the phrase is not used in any version of the Bible other than the King James Bible? Should you think about that? And by the way, the King James Bible in Acts 12:4 is the only Bible version in the English language that got it right when it used the term Easter instead of Passover. So we need to keep that in mind. The Bible that you carry is most important. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Matthew 28, 5 and 6 says the following. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. What a scene that must have been, folks. That was hallelujah time. That was a hallelujah time. Now, the word resurrection is used 41 times in the New Testament. What about that? In addition to those 41 times is the 21 different times where the phrase risen from the dead is used. And those are used of the Lord Jesus Christ. That totals up to 62 times, folks, that the New Testament talks about the resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was one of the best documented events in history. Having above 500 witnesses to the fact of the resurrection as it's recorded in 1 Corinthians 15:6. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have no hope, folks. We would have a vain faith. The New Testament is filled up with the testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just cited 62 separate references to a resurrection. We have the eyewitness accounts in the Gospels of it. We have the there's four separate accounts of it in the Gospels, isn't there? And then the other evidences of the resurrection is the empty tomb. They went in looking for him, and he was not there. Nowhere to be found. He had risen from the dead. And there were many post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared to Mary in John chapter 20, verse 16. He appeared to the women in Matthew 28, verses 5 through 9. He appeared to Peter in Luke 24, 34. He appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, 13 through verses 35. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room in John 20, verse 19. He appeared to the disciples and Thomas in John 20, verses 26 through 29. Then he appeared to John and Peter in John 21, verses 5 through 7. He appeared to the 11 again in Matthew 28, 16 and in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And he appeared to a whole company of believers in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 through 7. And then he's also appeared to Paul, didn't he, in 1 Corinthians 15, 8. And we know that Paul spent, 3 years in the deserts being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's in your Bible. And another proof of what the power of the resurrection is the changed lives of the apostles. They preached the resurrection, didn't they? They preached it. And then we have the institution of the first day of the week. And by that we mean that the resurrection took place and we celebrate it on Sunday rather than on what is termed the Sabbath day. Now, we ran into a Seventh-day Adventist yesterday, and he actually took our material. And he said, even though I worship on Saturday, I have family here, and they worship on Sunday. I will give them this material. That's amazing if you think about it, and they're very strong on that, folks. In fact, the Seventh-day Adventist says that those that worship on Sunday, that is the mark of the beast. Go and look it up for yourself. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. It's a resurrection every Sunday because it's a new beginning, isn't it? And then we also have the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Yeah. Yep. He is. He instituted a new day. That's what he done. No matter how much the people that worship on the Sabbath condemn that fact, it's still in the Bible. And folks, they're not. It's not just the Seventh-day Adventists that are what we call Sabbatarians. There's also a group of Seventh-day Baptists that practice the same doctrine. And you ought to celebrate the resurrection every day. That's what we ought to do. Now, the nature of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Yeah. That's right. Did y'all hear that? Yep. Hallelujah. Amen. Look forward to it. Now, as to the nature of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of it from a negative standpoint of view from what other people say, it was not a resuscitation. That is similar to what the Muslims teach, by the way. They teach that the resurrection was faked. That's what they teach. That proves that they are of the Antichrist. It also was not a hallucination. It was not a spiritual materialization as Westcott and Hort teach. It was a literal body resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the resurrection that believers are going to experience also. It was not a myth as many Bible scholars today teach. It was not a removal of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ either. Some hold that the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ was removed and that the resurrection was subsequently concocted. And here's some of the things that they put forth as five possibilities. The disciples took it. The two Marys took it. Now, you tell me how the two Marys got the stone rolled away. They say that Joseph of Arimathea took it. Now, you tell me how Joseph of Arimathea got the stone rolled away by himself. And then some say that the Jews took it. And then others say that Roman soldiers took it. That's just some of the heresy that's out there. And there's a lot of people out there that do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ literally arose from the grave. They believe that he had a spiritual resurrection is what they've done. And that's heresy, folks. Now, some positive aspects of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus rose personally from the dead. Scripture references for that, Matthew 28:6, John 21, verse 7. Jesus rose bodily from the dead, Matthew 28:9, John 20, verses 20 and 27. And Jesus rose visibly from the dead, Mark 16:9, 12 and 14. Also in Luke 24:34. And then in John 20:18. Now, how was the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead? It was a threefold work of the Godhead. He was raised by the Father. That is, and I don't have time to go to all these passages. I wanted to hit it real heavy here this morning. I had thought that I would go on with the rest of the stuff on the soul winning, and we are going to do that. But this is the most important part of that soul winning that we go out, is that resurrection. We need to be assured of the resurrection, the scriptural fact of the resurrection. Now, he was raised by the Father according to Romans 6:4, Romans 10:9, and Ephesians 1:17 through 20. He also arose by his own power, John 10, verse 18. And then he was quickened by the Holy Ghost. And it is the Holy Ghost, folks. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. That is the term that the King James Bible uses. And then the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, it was different from his former body. And Brother Darnell had something to say about that just a few minutes ago, didn't he? Because when he showed up, what does the Bible say? It said that he had what? A body of flesh and bone. Didn't mention the blood. Where was the blood at, folks? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had been taken and placed upon the mercy seat in heaven. That's where the blood went to. And that's why he was walking around. And by the way, the Bible says that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That means that we, and Brother Darnell quoted the verse a few minutes ago where it says that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. When he appears, we are also not going to have blood. We'll have a body just like he has. And then some other things about his return, his resurrection. Mary did not recognize him immediately, did she? And then his disciples did not recognize him at the seashore either, did they? And then it's also evident that he had some variableness of form, didn't he? Because he was able to walk through walls and appear and disappear. And then in some ways his body was similar to his former body. It was flesh and bone. Didn't have the blood. He could partake of food. And he could be recognized at times. And his body, resurrection body, was also not hindered by natural law. Amen. He could pass through matter. He could disappear. He was not limited by natural laws. He made the laws, folks. He is the creator. The Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, is the creator. And he's also our blessed redeemer, folks. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be on our way to hell for an eternity. Without his blood, we'd all be on our way to hell for an eternity. They work hand in hand. I said it a few minutes ago. The two absolutes from God's point of view is the blood of Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about some of the results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Number one, it affirmed the fact that he was God, or his deity is a theological term for it. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And the Bible teaches that if you don't believe that, you have the spirit of Antichrist. You see that in the book of 1 and 2 John. If you deny that he came in the flesh, you have the spirit of Antichrist. That's right. Amen, brother. And then the results, another one of the results was that it vindicated his sinless life. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, and contrary to what a lot of people teach, he could not have sinned. The Lord Jesus Christ could not have sinned. And why could he not have sinned? Because he was God. He was God manifest in the flesh. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ could not sin. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God that was sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. That's what he was sent there for. He was sent to that cross to keep you and I from going to hell and burning for an eternity. And also, his resurrection made his intercessory work possible. The Bible says that he appears, we're at the right hand of the Father, doing what? Making intercession for us. That's what he does. Now, with reference to the Word of God, what did the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ do? It fulfilled a lot of Old Testament prophecies, didn't it? Do you remember what I told you a few weeks ago, that when you start dealing with people that question the whether or not the Bible is the Word of God, if you take a look at just the prophecies, the 50 prophecies that surrounded the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what the probability of those being fulfilled accidentally was? One in one followed by 180 zeros. That's the mathematical. And you know what that means? Impossible. It's impossible. Now, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was also a token of God's judgment. Acts 17:31. There is coming a judgment, folks. And if you reject that death, that burial, that resurrection, if you reject it, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. It's as simple as that. And then, what does it also do? The ultimate, the benefit that we receive from it, ultimately from the resurrection, it offers salvation to us. That's what it does. Without it, we cannot be saved, folks. I read that passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that said that if Christ rose, did not arise, then our faith is vain. But he did arise, folks. Now, with reference to the nation of Israel, that resurrection fulfills the promise of God to the nation of Israel that was given in Acts 13:32. Fulfilled that promise. And by the way, folks, I want to tell you this. God is not through with the nation of Israel. God is not through with the nation of Israel. Romans 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not, I repeat, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying. So God has not permanently set aside the Jew and the nation of Israel. He is dealing with Gentiles now. That's the focus of the gospel. That's what the gospel is all about. Yes. Yes. And you'll find that in, I believe in that same chapter, it's either in Romans 9 or Romans 11 where you find that particular thing mentioned there. And the Bible says that if you criticize the Jew, that if you look in Romans chapter 11, there's a very stark warning in there for anybody who would take up a criticism against the Jew. Sister Perla. Right. The Jews, the point is that the Jews are required salvation also. They must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ also. The gospel is for Jew and Gentile. And brother. Yep. You must be born again. That's what it says. So, Brother Darnell mentioned it. John Hagee teaches that we don't need to be trying to convert the Jew. That's not true, folks. The Bible says that that gospel tore down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. The Jew in this dispensation and the Gentile must all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just the way it is. Amen. So, we are to be evangelizing the Jew and Gentile alike. Now, with reference to the believer, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is proof of our justification. And what does that justification mean? It's just as if I had never sinned. Justified. That's what it means. And it is also the hope of our own resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 22. 2 Corinthians 4, 14. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. It is also the basis of our new life in Christ. We're resurrected. When we come to salvation, we're resurrected to a newness of life, aren't we? There will be a change if you come to salvation. God is going to change you. You cannot make a profession of faith and then not see God make a change in your heart. That's just not going to happen. A lot of people believe that you can. It also gives us the power to be fruitful and to live a victorious Christian life. And it reveals the nature, as we've already talked about, of our resurrection body. And it also gives us the power for our witness. When you go out, you ought to keep in the back of your mind that you have that power to witness because the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And let me tell you this, folks. The very same God the Holy Ghost that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave is the same one that raises sinners who are lost and dead in their trespasses and sin, raises them from the grave also. It's the same Holy Ghost. So that same power that resurrected him that comes into the believer is that same power. And if you've been saved, folks, you're going to know it. Okay, I thank you all for listening. Next week we will get back into the other aspects of soul winning, but I felt like since it was Easter, we needed to talk this morning about the importance of what the resurrection is. Because after all, that's what we are preaching and teaching when we go out witnessing. Thank every one of y'all for listening this morning.